Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
With e-commerce off the charts, many small and growing warehouses are asking, how can I get ahead when my warehouse is barely keeping up? The answer is future-ready warehouse tech from Zebra Technologies. Warehouses can simplify and upgrade all processes, from automated inventory management to hands-free picking, with Zebra's tailored, scalable mobile solutions. They're simple and intuitive. There's never been a better time to upgrade for success with Zebra. How can your warehouse get ahead? The answer is in black and white. Get the answers at zebra.com/the answer. That's zebra.com/the answer.
Businesses are retooling fulfillment operations, from warehouses to omnichannel, to meet new demand amid unprecedented labor shortages. 3PLs, retailers, B2B distributors, and others are turning to flexible fulfillment solutions like Six River Systems to adapt and scale. Six River Systems' Fulfillment Execution System is an integrated solution that combines intelligent, cloud-based software and automation, including its autonomous mobile robot, AMR, Chuck. No costly or disruptive infrastructure changes, fast and easy associate training, and integrations with other warehouse execution solutions allow operations to meet labor challenges, increase efficiency, and enhance customer engagement. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more.
How do you create warehouse superheroes? The answer is simple, with visual voice scan solutions from ProSensus. With record demand and labor shortages, warehouses need more effective workers and lightning-fast onboarding. Visual voice scan solutions from ProSensus enable warehouse workers to achieve superhero performance with up to 20% improved productivity and up to 99% accuracy. Hands-free barcode scanners from ProGlove paired with wearable mobile computers is just the beginning. Improved mobile interfaces with reduced keystrokes, easy-to-read screens, custom keyboards, voice-enabled interface, and more can be realized with ease on the leading WMS platforms. Sound too good to be true? Let us show you with our one-of-a-kind virtual demo. Visit ProSensus.com to get started today. Again, that's ProSensus.com to get started.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast. I'm here at MODEX 2022, and I am joined in the New Warehouse booth with Bill Padriana. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at Big Joe Lift Trucks. So we're going to talk all about Big Joe. We're going to find out who is Joe exactly, and we're also going to talk about their new announcement, which is called Bud, and we're going to figure out what it is Bud and what does Bud do. So, Bill, welcome to the booth. Welcome to the show. How are you doing here at MODEX?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Yeah, it's a really fun show to be at after going through the past couple years. And
definitely.
It's also a very cool show to be at because I really see it being like kind of a, it's a bit of a turning point, I think, for this industry, which I grew up in.
Yeah.
I sold my first lift truck when I was 16. I'm 51 this year. Been at it a long time.
Wow,
I think this
okay.
is probably my 27th MHI show.
Yeah.
And you just see it coming every year, like the change of technology and automation. And I think we're at a tipping point, and it's very evident on the floor, accelerated a little bit by COVID.
Right.
But it's super exciting to be a part of the supply chain being like kind of the cool thing right now, as opposed to years ago when people would say, you know, material handling, like, you know, what is that all about? And no one really cared too much. Now everybody cares.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been such a huge thing, like you mentioned, and you know, obviously a lot of technological advances. But from 16 to 51, I mean, before we get into Big Joe here, I got to talk about this. Sorry. So from 16 to 51, I mean, obviously tons of changes, right? So,
yeah.
So I'm curious, you know, in that time frame, what has been the biggest change that you think you've seen? Like the one thing that maybe kind of like just floored you, like, wow, we're doing this now, like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like when there's big changes, mm-hmm. it's usually a result of a convergence of so many other things that lead up to like a big breakthrough, right?
Yeah.
So there's like so many underlying things that have changed, and there's this kind of, you know, they're all coming together now. Mm-hmm. With and even with the pandemic, which has forced it was like right. you couldn't have created a more perfect storm for some of the forces that were already kind of at play in the industry, kind of leading to kind of this moment at this show. You know, so I can't say that there's like one stark thing that has changed, but it's like the industry has been evolving for a long time throughout my career since I was a kid. And I've seen all of it. You know, there's been waves of different things tried and different, but like right now it just feels like it's harmonizing to something new. And I guess if there's something to be, I think the thing that's pretty cool, if there's one thing I can really focus on, is some of the things that I love about this industry, and anybody that's been in this industry for a long time really just like, they feel it in their gut. Like, this is the thing they love to do about this industry. It's being recycled. It's like, it was kind of, there were certain aspects of like that kind of, you know, back in the 80s, guys used to pound the streets and sell material handling solutions pre-internet.
Right.
And they were the experts. And they would have these buckets of like literature in their trunk, right? Mm-hmm. And they were and they would go around towns to their local companies, and they would tell them all these different things that existed because people didn't even know what they were, right? And the business back then was very personal. It was very solution-oriented. It was very much engaging with an account to like help that manager or that operator just provide a better, you know, have a better operation. It was like kind of almost like you felt like you were doing a good thing for the community and sharing your trade of helping people solve problems, right? And throughout, like, you know, kind of the 90s and the aughts, we kind of got away from that as an industry because a lot of people like kind of got more insular and they kind of looked at the internet to solve problems, and like it kind of got away from the traditional salesmanship in the industry of learning about how people do things and applying a solution. And I think we're back at a place now, which is really exciting, is some of the old kind of things that people love about material handling, about solving problems with tools that people don't really know or understand very well, and all these new things in the toolkit, it's kind of bringing like new life back into the material handling world, which is now expanded to include supply chain. So I guess if there's one thing that I can really focus on that I think is maybe the coolest, neatest thing, is how so many things have changed, but it's bringing us back to a place where I think it's kind of renewing kind of the spirit of the industry with all this innovation. That's the thing I would gravitate toward.
I think it's an interesting point because there is, you know, with so much innovation and bringing a lot of, I think, technologies into the warehousing space that people that typically work in warehousing would otherwise not be familiar with, there is a lot of education now
that needs
to go on to bring that out. So so it's an interesting point there, and I love the fact that you're seeing that it's almost recycling, as you said, like it's coming back, that education point from the experts and the people, the salesmen as well, that come out there. So, you know, we got your history here.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about Big Joe and Big Joe Lift Truck. So what is Big Joe Lift Trucks? What do you guys do?
Right. So I think the question a lot of people ask is, you know, who's Big Joe? Like, where is he?
Yeah, who's Joe?
Who's this guy? Right? What's he all about? And so, you know, it's a material handling company founded in the 50s in Chicago.
Okay.
And it was two families. They very much came out of kind of the industrial sciences kind of, you know, kind of almost like the assembly line kind of mentality, but post-World War II.
Okay.
And they were kind of cruising around Chicago, and they were looking for problems to solve, entrepreneurial mindset. And they were looking at these guys that were taking cast iron cash boxes out of department stores downtown, because we didn't have the suburb shopping like we do today, right?
Back then, you
wanted to go shopping, you go downtown, right? So they were pulling all these like 80-pound cast iron cash boxes out of these retailers, and they were seeing these guys with these two-wheel dollies just killing themselves, bringing this stuff in every day, and they're like, man, we could make something, we could put a hydraulic cylinder in one of these things and bring it up to counter level so these guys wouldn't have to bend down all the time.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And, like, it would be a simple little machine, right? Yeah. And so they did that. That was the first Big Joe. It was at one of the very first MHI shows. It was actually called something different back then in 1951.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they introduced the Model 14 Big Joe.
Yeah.
And it was literally a two-wheel hand truck with a hydraulic cylinder in it and a foot pump. And that was the genesis of all walkie forklifts. Because the first thing you realize when you try to put a hydraulic cylinder in a two-wheel hand truck and you load it with an 80-pound cast iron box is the thing's going to want to flip forward.
Right.
So you need straddle legs to make sure it doesn't flip over.
Yeah.
And then as you load that product up, you realize that it's hard to push. You want to put a power drive unit on it.
Mm.
Powered straddle stacker.
Yeah.
Counterbalance, reach stacker. All that come from, those were all early Big Joe innovations.
Okay.
And so who's Big Joe?
Yeah.
Big Joe is like, you know, the company was founded in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to like in New York where every, you know, person was like a Mac. Yeah. Or right, or like a buddy, right?
Yeah.
In Chicago, it's just like, hey, you're just like a Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so instead of having some like Joe come over and help you move the heavy thing, you had the simple tool that could do it for you. That's where the name comes from.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So it's like your average Joe, I guess, basically.
Right. But the DNA of the company is always like basically taking like a simple machine to empower a worker, as opposed to you know using brute force like you know. Like a Joe, you know, that's kind of where we come from.
Very interesting, and a very interesting origin story there as well. I love the fact that they, you know, saw that problem that somebody was having, and they thought about, you know, how can I make their lives better and make it easier for them to do. And so obviously, you know, we've come a long way since then. So talk to us a little bit about kind of the evolution of Big Joe and how we got to the point where we are now with the solutions you guys are providing.
Right. So I'll give you a really quick, try to be quick. It's a, it's a pretty interesting story. You know, solving those tasks with a simple machine like that was always what we were focused on for years.
Okay.
And as the U.S. lost a lot of its manufacturing base in the 70s and 80s,
right.
Big Joe lost a lot of its traditional customer base because a lot of the unique little problems we wanted to solve were kind of falling away.
Yeah.
A lot of it was in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And so by 2009, when the Great Recession hit, we had very little business left, and the company was really struggling to hold on, and it needed to be revitalized.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we basically, you know, kind of got together with a Chinese multinational EP equipment, and they came in, and they were providing some equipment to us on a private label basis at that time.
Okay.
But brought them in, kind of did a reorganization, revitalized the product line, used their production scale overseas to kind of revitalize our products, which hadn't been kind of renewed since the 80s.
Okay.
And rebuilt the whole line from scratch, but preserve the DNA of like kind of what Big Joe is all about, where it was kind of simple, material handling oriented machines. And all the machines you'll see on our show floor today and the ones we've developed over the past 12 years, they're all kind of tweaked. They all got these kind of like little kind of nuances and different approaches to how other OEMs manufacture trucks.
Okay.
Because the whole idea, once again, is to try to go after those kind of like in between tasks, those kind of like you know, kind of that, once again, that kind of material handling kind of mindset, not just we're going to make one widget and make 20,000 of them. We're going to make, we have 8 different models of pallet truck. Most manufacturers offer one.
Yeah, just one. Yeah.
We're all about the right tool for the job. So, you know, and having the efficiency of EP, who now, you know, we're essentially the North American business unit now as Big Joe.
Yeah.
We've got kind of manufacturing that we can deliver a high quality, low cost product.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have kind of the acumen to really know what customers need to elegantly solve some of their material handling tasks.
Hmm. Very interesting. And, you know, I love the fact that you guys are, like you said, you know, you want the right tool for the job, right? So so you talked about, you mentioned some little tweaks in there. So so give us like an example of one tweak that would be a little bit different from like another manufacturer.
Yeah, sure. Like, so one of the products we're introducing here at Modex is the RPL, the RPL 44. It's a rider pallet trap, jack. Most people are like, okay, everybody's got a rider pallet trap, so what?
Yeah.
Ours has a few different things that are interesting. One, it was purposely built to be a lithium truck up front.
Okay.
So it's about maybe about only 60% of the head length of everybody else's truck. So much smaller, much more maneuverable.
Hmm.
And then the forks on it are low profile forks. It's not a special. It's standard as low profile.
Really?
So the fork's only under is 2.9 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Most of everybody else's rider jack is 3.4, so a small tweak.
Yeah.
But when you start trying to like finagle our end control rider jack out of a pallet, it can be real meaningful because it can save you like, you know, like 20 minutes a day just having to get unstuck from shipping pallets just by having a little bit more low profile pallet fork. And to do that, it's not easy because the load wheels on a rider jack spin really fast because they go long distances and they can heat up. So you have to use special compounds in the wheel. We actually split the wheel into two, so there's actually four load wheels to split the thermal load and to make that happen. And so that's a little tweak, but it gives our dealers something that they can show to a customer to help solve problems. And that's really, once again, what we're all about. So that's one example. Every one of our products has something like that that is just slightly askew from like kind of the more commoditized offering that most lift truck manufacturers produce.
Very interesting. And I'm curious how the, you know, the, I guess the innovation process happens there, Big Joe, when you come up with these little tweaks, like the low profile forks, for example. Like, where did that idea come from? Is it a customer saying they need something like this, or is it just industry?
I mean, I think it's a combination of things. Yeah. I think it's just experience. You know, I mean, one of our guys that's been with the company for a really long time, he started work at Big Joe when he was 18. He's also in his 50s.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, you know, when people call Big Joe, they expect us to be the experts.
Right.
That's why they're calling us. And so part of it is it's just, you know, that kind of active learning. When you build a company based on problem solving, it requires you to go like learn your customer's business, right? And you see kind of more real world kind of environments where your products are used.
Yeah.
And it gives you that kind of that knowledge base when you get a bunch of people like-minded that kind of do the same thing, of learning about like not necessarily what's the easiest product to produce, but what is the tool that you can create that can solve a problem in the most simple way. For, you know, and not necessarily the most straightforward problem, the things that are the things that you get asked about, like you want to say yes to, right? Dealer calls you, customer calls you, you want to help them, right? And so it's like, what would you do to like refine, you know, tweak the product or, you know, kind of make it slightly different so that when you get that call that, hey, I could help you out with that because we have a model that does this, right? So it all comes from that problem solving kind of mentality is really where our innovation comes from.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I think, I mean, oftentimes those little tweaks is something that maybe people don't think about necessarily. So knowing that it exists, you may uncover like a problem that you didn't know you really had. So it's
We do another thing which is really fun, which is I call it like weird first development. So we take basically kind of the things we accept to be true about a certain type of piece of equipment and we flip them on their head.
Okay.
So we say, like, for instance, like on our J2 order selector,
they
drive, everybody thinks they drive backwards because we call it forks forward operation. So most order pickers, you drive with the forks trailing.
Yeah,
ours are the exact opposite.
Really?
So we started with that as a concept, weird first, and then worked backwards. Like, if we were to do this, what would be the consequences, and then what would we have to do to the product if we made this decision of weird first to make it an effective piece of equipment? And it kind of takes you through this arc of trying to challenge your preconceived notions about what an order picker should be. And what we found in the development of the J2 with that forks forward operation is we really liked it, and it stuck. And we solved a lot of the other problems down line. So it's really good for each picking, we found, is what we found.
Interesting,
Okay. It's that case pick,
That's pretty interesting. And obviously, you know, you guys are constantly evolving. And with this week here at MODEX, you guys have a big announcement, right?
So big announcement,
you're bringing on a new cobot, right? So name is Bud.
Bud. Yeah, so Bud's actually an acronym. So it stands for Big Joe User Directed. The UD is User Directed.
Okay.
And the whole idea is very Big Joe, right? Which is the idea is that we're going to try to make a simple kind of autonomous unit to move goods around that a person is, you know, can basically kind of set up themselves, integrate themselves, and put to work and get ROI day one. And it's a big thing for us because we're moving into a space, the automation space, which we haven't been in previously.
Yeah.
But it feels just so darn natural.
Yeah.
Because of, like, it's, once again, that PC kind of, you know, revolution kind of thing that I was talking about.
Yeah.
At this time, like, it's like if anybody's going to make a simple machine that is just like kind of about like empowering workers,
right,
to solve kind of edge case problems, it's like, it's that's like who we are.
That's what Big Joe does.
That's what Big Joe does, right? So it just totally makes sense. And to do it as a cobot totally makes sense.
Right.
And, you know, it's really fun to talk about. I'm going to be doing a speech tomorrow here on the show floor called Nobot to Cobot.
Yeah.
And it's specifically for people that would never really think that they would have, like, a robot running around their facility.
Okay.
But now it kind of makes sense because it's just so easy to do.
Yeah.
So we're excited about Bud. I mean, there's a lot of robots here.
Right.
But it does still seem that a lot of the industry is still kind of fixated on the planes and the trains, and not so much the automobiles.
Okay.
And I'll give you a little bit on that is like, you know, it's easy to get ROI on something like a train or a plane because you've got all the velocity and all the throughput and all that. You can run the numbers, right? Yeah. But it's like, we're at a point like with something like Bud where it's like more like, hey, I'm going to drop the kids off at soccer practice.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, and so our model is all about like a RAS model where we're talking about like $50 a day. So if you have 2 hours of non-value added travel that you can just have this thing, you push go and it can, you know, take your pallet or goods or whatever you're doing.
You save the money right
That's
there.
Pretty much ROI day one. Right. It just, that's kind of what we're shooting for.
All right. Very interesting stuff. And welcome to the automation world, I'll say.
Yeah. Right? It's interesting. I never thought at 16, going back into that kind of life story of myself, that I'd be like selling robots at some point in my career. But here we are.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, even for myself, you know, I'm not quite 51 yet. But, you know, as a younger myself, you know, seeing all these robots being used in actual like practical applications is pretty wild. So it's pretty incredible stuff. So Bill, thank you so much for stopping by the booth and talking to us about Big Joe and the Bud as well. It's pretty cool stuff. Congratulations on that. If people want to find out more information about Big Joe Lifts, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can go to our website at bigjoeforklifts.com or hit up our sales team at sales@bigjoeforklifts.com. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Kevin. Thanks for having us.
You too, Bill. And we'll put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com. So thank you once again for stopping by the booth and enjoy the rest of the show.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.